Tonight, we are dealing with a very special subject, somewhat touchy, because when it touches people's money, it is a little touchy. Please turn to the Word of God in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. And here the Apostle Paul speaks to us in his message to the Ephesian elders. Dear friends, it is so good when God's word is applied. After 2,000 years, it is still as fresh and as relevant as it was when Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders. Chapter 20 of Acts of the Apostles, verse 32. Paul here is saying his farewell. Farewell to those elders who had come all the way to meet him in Miletus. And it says here, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What better words to say to those you are so concerned with? When you are parting, what do you say to them? Here the apostle says, you are going back to Ephesus, and I got to go on my way. You know that after this, he fell into the hands of his enemies and eventually ended up in Rome. But here he has something very precious to give to his friends. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, above everything else and anything else, to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Isn't that great? You know what is an inheritance? When I was small, whenever I read and heard of people who inherited big fortunes from some auntie or relative, I must confess, I said, Lord, how I wish I had some rich person who will die and give me an inheritance. Does it not occur to some of you here? But let me inform you, dear friends, we all have a wonderful inheritance in heaven, all of us, because our rich relative has died. Our dearest kinsman, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross, and there he died for you and me. And we believing in him, mind you, tonight's topic and subject is all about faith. And when we come to him in faith, he gives us that wonderful inheritance. So if you do not know that, I'm informing you, you have an inheritance beyond this earth, beyond the moth and rust and corruption of thieves and so on. For in that place, that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, and reserved and kept for you until you arrive there. So this is what Paul is talking about. Verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or clothing. So it is, dear friends, please always remind yourself, when you became a child of God, you came into such a wonderful inheritance, so much better than any kind of earthly wealth you can ever acquire. Please understand that. So once you understand that, your value system changes. Your thinking that you must have more money becomes of no great consequence. Of course, we all need money, but we do not place that as the objective. And here we are touching on that very topic. Now let's read on verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that my hands have ministered unto my necessities, and even to them who are with me. What a wonderful testimony that this does not negate the fact that we must esteem God's servants very highly. and give them the adequate recompense for all that they do and labor for God. That is what we need to and what we owe them. And that is honoring to God. But there are exceptions. Paul is an exception. Paul was a tent maker. And he earned and supported himself, and not only himself. He says, my fellow workers who come with me, I support them, so that they are not a burden on the church. Praise the Lord for that. Now let's read on. Verse 35 is the key verse. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know that this reported speech of our Lord Jesus is not recorded in any gospel. But here, Paul, through his contacts with possibly the other apostles, was told this, that he is able to report this wonderful, wonderful injunction of our Lord. To all of us here today, I want to say this then, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the next passage we want to read is in 1 Timothy, the part we had just read. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Read it another way. The greatest profit, the greatest riches you can get right now is to pray that God will make you a godly person and to be contented with what you have, contented with what he has given you, and do not be greedy. Do not all the time hanker after more wealth and more money. It is not necessary for our peace of mind, for our inner wealth, well-being, for our daily happiness. We do not need money. What do we need? Godliness. What is godliness? Godliness to do the things that please God, like God, to do the things he wants us to do, and to fear him, and to serve him, and to love him every day, our lives being ruled by him. All that we do, from morning to night, all our thinking, our speaking, our doing, our interactions is that I may please my Lord. Godliness. You have this? That is the greatest riches and contentment. Do not yearn for something that you do not have. There is no need for us to strive to be as good as the next door people. They have it, I must have it. No, dear friends. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And this is a very important, you say, obvious, isn't it? Yes. More than obvious. But sadly, many people forget, and they think they are in this world forever, which is not. I'm going to show you in a moment that we are only put here for a while, and then we are taken out again to give an account of what we have done with our lives. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, and those that are high-minded begin to fall into temptation and a snare, as Paul says here in verse 9. Here is a word of warning. Any of you who is very dissatisfied and doing your best to increase your wealth by hook or by crook, I must get so much more money. Look at verse 9. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But now thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Alright. Now on to verse 6:17 again. Charge them that are rich, there is no sin to be rich. There is no sin that you have money and a lot of money. But the sin comes when you make money your God. And you go on pursuing for money. Or you use money to do all kinds of ungodly things. That's where the sin comes in. Now, to those who are rich in this world, we advise them, of course. This refers to those who are believers as well as non-believers. This is a general statement. Look at verse 17 again. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. That is where the gospel comes in. This is where we necessarily we have friends who are rich, people who are in business, people who are multimillionaires. Not that we want to be with them, but when we know them, what do? It says here, charge them that are rich that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. Therefore we witness to them and tell them that their money is only an instrument for them for a while, and they must be wise how to use that money, because God has given them that money. Now, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and that applies to all. You have money, think, not just for yourself. We must enlarge our vision as Christians. We don't understand if God did not give us, what do we have? Paul says, we came into this world with nothing, and we leave the world with nothing, and in the meantime, God gives us everything we have. And sometimes God gives us so much of things that we don't know what to do, right? Now the last part I want to leave with you is to look at some transparencies, and I want to come to those who think you are not rich enough. So as I said just now, you have an inheritance of God, dear friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ was poor, yet for your sakes. He was rich, became poor for your sakes, that we through his poverty might be rich. And this inheritance, you do not earn it. You cannot earn it. But it is a gift of God. And it is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you. Please look forward to that great inheritance waiting for you. So please never feel and never think that you are so poor. You're not so poor. For in the Lord Jesus Christ we have riches beyond the calculation of the world. And all that we give to God for the gospel's sake is the only wealth that remains forever. Our Lord Jesus says to us, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, for here moth, rust, and thieves go after them. Today, many other things, fire, inflation, all these things take over the riches.
The only riches is what you have given to God prayerfully for the extension of His kingdom, for the preaching of the gospel, for the saving of souls. That riches remains. So the Lord says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Send your treasures to heaven by way of gospel outreach. Now I want to impress on us here. So many people are so happy, they become PRs. Some didn't know what is PR. Permanent residence. And yet, you know, when you think of it, your PR can last you 10, 20, 30 years and then it's finished. So what is PR? I say better we call it TR. Temporary residence, we all are on earth. And how long will you be here? Please understand, this is a tiny little drop of a system in the universe, and God puts you here. And during that time, you came in here naked. One day you leave here naked, you take nothing with you. So what is the rationale for acquiring wealth after wealth and accumulations after accumulations? Please think. In this church, we do not stress on a quantum that you ought to give to God. There are some churches which actually examine your payslip, how much you earn, and they want 10%. Whether you like it or not, they just tax you. We do not tax anyone here, but I say the better principle is this. Acts 20:35, the Lord says to us, much more blessed to give than to receive. And how much you give, how you give, where you give to, is between you and the Lord. As He prospers, you give not grudgingly or of necessity. We take this like sowing. Sowing and reaping. Please understand, if you do not sow, you do not reap. But if when you sow, you say, well, the seed goes in, well, it's gone. Under the ground, it's died. So it is. It disappeared. That is the divine law. You got to say goodbye to that money that you sow in. But years later, maybe months later, comes back the harvest in souls won. I received a letter from Vancouver. One of our friends from London went there to preach, and he reports back to say, look, I was blessed in Vancouver. There was a congregation of 120. The choir was singing. The children were there. And it was a blessed fellowship in a place called Vancouver. Now, how did Vancouver come about? Dear friends, one of the members departed, gave their sum to buy the church, to begin the work. Today there is a great work going on. More blessed to give than to receive. If that money were just put in the bank, growing interest, today there would not be the Vancouver Bible Presbyterian Church. I say the same for here. We started out from Life Church in 1970. Nothing, only a handful of people with no endowment, no promise of money or backing or support or anything. The Lord says, go. I'm with you. Go preach the gospel. And lo, I'm with you always. We went. The Lord supplied today that one move out of Life Church has brought about three churches in Singapore and all the rest you know around the world. Isn't that a great blessing? Now supposing we never made the move, we never gave, and nobody gave, nobody did anything, there will be nothing today. Today, we can go to Perth, there's a BP church there waiting for you to look after you. Go to Sydney, there is one. Go to Melbourne, there are two. Go to Adelaide, there is one. One in London, one in Vancouver, one in Toronto. Where did this come from? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Those of God's people who were touched, those who went and they saw and they gave, this is the result of it. I say, dear friends, we don't ask for tithe, we ask for love for the Lord. Faith. This is faith giving. There is no promise that you are going to be rewarded, but God knows what you give and He will reward you. Now, what does the Word of God say just now? What do we do with your money? There are five things you can do with money. If you keep hoarding and get very rich, you will be called a miser. Right? If you just invest, you get more and more, you get richer. That's it. And it says, those who fall into temptation and many are lusts, they fall into sins and then destruction and perdition is the end of it. Philanthropy. What is philanthropy? I was looking at the website through someone who went to the debt. And it says, recently, Lee Foundation gave $30 million to the NUS. So those who attend or those who work in the NUS say, wonderful. Windfall, $30 million Sing dollars. Where did it come from? Lee Foundation. Who is Lee Foundation? Once upon a time, there was a man called Mr. Lee. And he was so rich, but his heart was moved. And he says, what I got from society, I will return some of it to society. Is that a good thing? Yes. Paul says, to the rich I advise you, don't trust in uncertain riches, but be ready to communicate, to give, to help every good cause, that society may be better because of you. Christians, non-Christians. Another good foundation is the Shaw Foundation. You know, they own hundreds of cinemas all over the place. And Mr. Shaw one day said, we will find satisfaction not only just getting people's money, but there is satisfaction in returning the money to them in charitable works, and so they did. They are one of the biggest donors in the world, mind you. Lee Foundation, Shaw Foundation, they're catching up with things like Rockefeller Foundation. Yes, you've all heard of Rockefeller. Now the last thing you can do with your money is think of God and the gospel. And our Lord Jesus says, again I remind you, not what I say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God will prove this to you. So there are two ways of giving. One is to give to society and to charity. And I say there is virtue in this. The other is we as Christians, we can give, or we ought to give, to the kingdom of God. But that does not exempt Christians from giving to society in charity. We still have a social responsibility as Christians. Although I would say our major interest and our major blessing is to give to the kingdom of God. Years ago, when I was more active in practice, these are the things that came across my lifetime. Those of you in ACS, yes, I was in ACS. So when the time came and there was a need, my method is this. You may try it. Patients owe you the fee. I say, don't give me the fee. Write it to Anglo-Chinese school. And so that goes there. There is a double benefit there. I don't get the money, I don't need to pay the tax. If I get the money and then give it after tax, less of the money goes to ACS. So that's a way it can be done. Singapore Anti-Narcotics Association. Now what happened with this? This was in the early 70s. And the reading of young people being caught in drugs moved my heart. And I said, let me start something good. And the result of it was Singapore Anti-Narcotics Association. And again, the same thing is done. You can do the same thing too. The fee is due, give it to SANA. Same with SSO. In one dinner, I wasn't alone in doing this though. One or two others helped me. And in one dinner for the Singapore Symphony Orchestra, we raised $750,000. Finally, again, this is to society. My family were made PRs in Australia. At that time, the law said all you PRs' children get free education. So two of my daughters got free education in Sydney. I said, what should I do? I went to the New South Wales University at their medical association meeting. I was one of the speakers and I was impressed with their work. I said, how about this? You have so many talented people and they have presented so many good scientific papers. You have nothing to acknowledge them. He said, nothing. I said, how about this? I give you just a small donation, just 10,000. And they began a prize to award the best papers and to encourage them to go further. Out of that, it has grown to today to have blessed over 300 doctors and others out of this little beginning, not my credit, but their credit, that they took it up. I said, dear friends, there are things we can do other than for God's kingdom. Now, for those who want to advance God's kingdom, we have a gift envelope. And this gift envelope is only an instrument of help to you. It is an instrument to help you to gain a blessing, for it is more blessed to give than to receive. Sometimes you want to give, you don't know what to give, where to give. Alright, here it is. Bethel Development Center in Thailand is looking after 50 young people, children, with the gospel. There is one possibility. We have a benevolent fund in this church and we encourage our people, when you come to the Lord's table, think of those in need, those suffering people. We have a missionary society that goes around the world. There's Far Eastern Bible College. There's the Jordan Missions. Think of Preacher Chi and his wife looking after three churches, two of them. Think of Reverend Pang Kok Hiong, who goes in and out of China three, four, five times a year and baptizing by now 1,300 to 1,400 people. Think of Peter Clemens, who works for the Lord with two heart valves dangling and his life is literally hanging by a thread. He can die any moment. He served the Lord non-stop. Think of the RPG ministry that goes round the world, 18,000 copies to help people to read the Word of God. That is another ministry you can support. Think of Pontianak Missions. The first time our church is reaching into Indonesia. Yes, right into Indonesian territory with the missions and the gospel. Think of Saipan and China, and think of those studying FEBC theology. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus says to us again, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What will you do with your surplus funds? Do you have any surplus funds? I'm not after your funds, but I think the Lord has a word for all of us here. Think, when we arrive in heaven, will there be a good report because of you? Will there be some souls saved because of you? Will there be those who are blessed and they come up to you and say, thank you, you helped me in this or that. There is so much we can do. Think, and may God lead and guide you in what you ought to do. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, make us all to be a blessing one to another and a blessing to those outside the church, that we may consider that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might be rich. Make us a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.